Kwazi, why muri Zimbabwe lingali chona njani mtoka bemuhle Zimbabwe muhle kwazi, welcome. If you're tuned in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Muri Zimbabwe, week two, we're back in action, we're live. Welcome, muri Zimbabwe. If you're tuned in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America in Washington, D.C., muri Zimbabwe. Today is Tuesday, the 2nd of March, 2021. Tsogazo Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe. I'm your host, Mike Ove. Once again, Muri Zimbabwe, Kanamur Vopinda Mchirongwa. If you're just joining us right now, welcome to The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Muri Zimbabwe, we're live as usual. You can call in live. But let's delve into it, Muri Zimbabwe. Nasim Mchirongwa, tonight on The Connection, we continue the discussion on the COVID-19 virus, the coronavirus pandemic, responsible for taking millions of lives worldwide. Tonight on The Connection, we focus on the latest COVID-19 restrictions that were announced yesterday by President Emmerson Mnangagwa. We're also going to be talking to the youth of the nation about the Sinopharm vaccine that was donated to Zimbabwe by China approximately 3 weeks ago. And then as we wrap up our program, Muri Zimbabwe, as I promised last week, we have our seasoned journalist joining us, Uplot Amako, a seasoned art journalist, as we're going to be commemorating the life of the late soldier Love. A young 31-year-old Zim dancehall sensation who passed away 2 weeks ago due to diabetes. Soldier Love was declared a national liberation hero by government. So we're going to be delving into his life, commemorating him, and trying to unpack as to what exactly was it about Soldier Love that radiated all these young people, that made these young people mourn him so much and love him so much. If you're looking to join us, Muri Zimbabwe, we're going to be opening the lines between 8:30 and 9 p.m. to you, our loyal listeners, between 8:30 and 9 p.m. So let us know your thoughts on the three things we're going to be discussing: the Sinopharm COVID-19 vaccine donated to Zimbabwe by China, the latest COVID-19 restrictions, and of course, the life of the late Soldier Love. For those that are streaming the program on our three Facebook pages, we're streaming live on VOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Shona Muri Zimbabwe. So please share the program with your networks. So that we watch the program in our numbers. You are there watching in your numbers. And most importantly, do not forget to write your comments in the comment section, and we're going to be reading them live on air. For those that are watching on Facebook, you can also write your number in the comment section, and we're going to be calling you live on air. Without wasting time, Muri Zimbabwe, let's delve into it. Coronavirus, Chirorecha COVID-19. The latest statistics issued by the Ministry of Health show that just last night alone, Muri Zimbabwe, 2,041 PCR tests were conducted, 26 new cases were detected, 239 recoveries, and 5 deaths. For those watching on those three Facebook pages, I'm sure you can see the figures. Once again, as they follow, 2,041 PCR tests were conducted last night, 26 new cases were detected, 239 recoveries, and 5 deaths. Of those 5 deaths, 3 are in Manicaland and 2 are in Mashonaland West. Zimbabwe currently has recorded 36,115 accumulative COVID-19 cases, 32,905 recoveries, and 1,468 deaths. The country currently has 1,742 active cases. Now, Muri Zimbabwe, as mentioned earlier on, yesterday, President Emmerson Mnangagwa issued an address towards the nation as he discussed the latest COVID-19 restrictions, which have been relaxed a lot. Now, the biggest development seems to be making a lot of people proud, especially those who are part of the informal sector, because for a very long time, they were really sad about the fact that they could not work. However, after yesterday's address by President Emmerson Mnangagwa, they are able to go back to work. And of course, another development that President Emmerson Mnangagwa mentioned yesterday is the fact that people do not need to travel all around with their letters. Now they can travel freely. Of course, there's still the lockdown times that you can and cannot be indoors. So those are other developments. So let us head over to a clip courtesy of Zim Papers TV Network. This is the address made by President Emmerson Mnangagwa yesterday. Unfortunately, it's not the full clip, but for those that are looking to watch the full clip, go to their Facebook page. It is available there. Let us head over to a clip courtesy of Zim Papers to hear more from President Mnangagwa.
We are pleased with the positive response from the targeted groups. The overwhelming number of inquiries from those outside the first phase target groups is encouraging, as they indicate their desire to vaccinate. The dissemination of factual information on the efficacy of the vaccines will be increased across all media platforms. The wearing of face masks, temperature checks, as well as washing of hands or use of sanitizers in all public areas remains mandatory. The curfew is adjusted and will now be from 10 p.m. to 5:30 in the morning. Letters are no longer required for movement. Supermarkets can now remain open up to 7 p.m. to reduce congestion and must enforce social distancing within their premises. As per the previous announcement, SMEs, food markets, and informal sectors can reopen on condition that they strictly adhere to the World Health Organization set standards and the national COVID-19 guidelines.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from President Emmerson Mnangagwa talking about the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. And of course, he was talking about the Sinopharm vaccine. But there's still some Zimbabweans who are resisting this vaccine that President Emmerson Mnangagwa is urging his citizens to take, mainly because they feel as though the information that is there at hand is not enough for them to take an informed decision to be whether or not to take this COVID-19 vaccine. Let us head over to the president of the Zimbabwe Nurses Association, Dr. Enoch Longo, who was on the phone with one of our correspondents, and he explained as to why some of these people don't want to take it. And this, of course, includes medical personnel. Let's hear more from him.
No adequate information, no the public domain. In the health sector, the health workers who are the frontliners, they are saying they don't have much information about the vaccine. And that one has led to the reluctance that we are noticing right now, whereby we find that a low turnout in terms of those who are willing to be vaccinated.
Well, you're hearing there from Dr. Enoch Longo, the president of the Zimbabwe Nurses Association, touching on why some medical personnel and why some people feel as though they're not ready to take the COVID-19 vaccine, the Sinopharm vaccine that was donated to Zimbabwe by China. As you mentioned, as you heard earlier on from President Mnangagwa, there's actually more vaccines coming from China, Russia, and other places. But now, let's also head over to another doctor. Unfortunately, we had a clip that we were going to play of Tandi, where Maina, who is another doctor, who she was actually saying she's ready to take the vaccine, but unfortunately, due to technological issues, we can't give you this clip right now, Muriel Zimbabwe. But without further ado, let me head over to my guest, the main guest joining us via Skype, Umnumzana Leopold Munende. Leopold Munende is a young journalist. He's a spokesperson of the Young Journalists Association. Let's hear more from Leopold Munende. Leo, welcome to our program, Chief. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Chief. How's everything?
Kikren, Kimunati. Thank you so much for joining me, man. How are you feeling?
Pleasure. I'm hanging in there.
Let's delve into it. Let's not waste people's time, man. The Sinopharm vaccine, the COVID-19 lockdown. Let's start off with the lockdown, man. The last time we spoke, you were talking about the lockdown. We were focusing on how a lot of people were in a very, very bad state because, of course, majority of the people in the country formulate the informal sector. And, of course, they were locked in at home. But now it's changed. What are the people saying, man?
The people are happy. You know, Zimbabwe's population is largely informally employed. So you would get a situation whereby most survive on vending. If it's in Harare, obviously it will be in the CBD and in areas such as Mbari.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they've been allowed to work means that the poverty which was slowly creeping into their homes is now maybe might be abated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some of the conditions which were put in place which were announced by President Emmerson Mnangagwa could be difficult
mm-hmm.
for them because he says they should follow World Health Organization
right.
Guidelines. And it could be a challenge because for a vendor to have let's say, that thermometer or
mm-hmm.
constantly wearing a face mask, and if you go to Mbari, there are people who will be shouting, "Hembe panis, kogulapa," and stuff like that. It could be a challenge. But I think it's a welcome development for them, and probably they will find a way around what President Emmerson Mnangagwa said. I hope for the best for them.
So we heard President Emmerson Mnangagwa yesterday as he was addressing the nation. I specifically focused on, I brought you here for that one specific part that I found intriguing. For the past 3 or 4 weeks since the Sinopharm vaccine has been in the country, people have been crying for more information on this vaccine. People are saying they're not ready. A lot of people, in actual fact, as much as there's many that are saying they're ready to take it, there's also just as many that are saying they're not ready to take it because of the lack of information that's there in the country. President Emmerson Mnangagwa yesterday said he's looking to use all state media platforms to distribute more information on the COVID-19 vaccine. As a young journalist, what is your reaction to that?
I think they are a step behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that should have been the first step before the Sinopharm vaccine got to Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time it got here, and people had less information about it,
mm-hmm.
all they knew were rumors and maybe propaganda on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So what they should have done, what government should have done, was it should have ensured that the Sinopharm vaccine
mm-hmm.
and all the information around it gets or reaches every corner of Zimbabwe before it lands in the country.
Mm-hmm.
At the present moment, people are choosing to Google the Sinopharm vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and what you get on the internet is not something which can give you confidence to go and test. For example, you get information that the Sinopharm vaccine is in its third stage
mm-hmm.
of testing, and people are no longer sure whether the Sinopharm vaccine, which is being used in Zimbabwe, has been tested already.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get information that from government sources themselves saying that it was not tested locally and it will be tested on people who will be tested, who will be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that kind of those kind of details, and people begin to get a number of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually talking to some women in my suburb,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that they will not get vaccinated. And I was telling them, I was asking them why, and they were saying they did not have any information about it.
Right.
They were telling me all these things about getting barren and stuff like that. You see,
mm-hmm.
it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And if government is going to use the media, they should not only use publicly owned media such as the Herald, ZBC, etc.
Mm-hmm.
They should use each and every privately owned platform, especially online,
mm-hmm.
because that is where people are now. At least they should try to calm people down to say, no, you know what, this is the situation, the Sinopharm vaccine works like this,
mm-hmm.
it tackles this strain and this strain, and if there are side effects, they should be out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
They should tell us.
Mm-hmm.
There is likely to be this and this and this, so that at least we make decisions with all the knowledge around that vaccine. If they try to hide some of it,
mm-hmm.
then at the end of the day, we'll get to a situation where we are now, where the few elites who have access to information
mm-hmm.
who are brave enough can say, I will get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the majority now, the ones in the ghettos,
mm-hmm.
who say, we don't have any information about it, so we are not going to get vaccinated. ZBC is not carrying anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, no influencer has said anything about it. All we are seeing are pictures of a few journalists,
mm-hmm.
because there are quite a number of journalists,
right.
Very few, they are there who have been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And those are the pictures we're getting of journalists getting vaccinated. It actually gives people hope that this thing can actually save my life, but we need more of it. And government should at least invest. Of course, they are a step behind, but mm-hmm. if they are going to do it, then they should do it fast, and they should invest as much as possible. Of course, we would want to know how much has been invested mm-hmm. and where who has benefited from it.
But Leo, tell me something. I like to pay attention, of course, on what government is doing, and I usually refer to their social media pages to kind of see what exactly is going on, especially the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Information. I've been seeing a couple of clips where they're using influencers like Abo Bob Nyabinde and them, who kind of are endorsing the vaccine, urging people to take the vaccine. They're talking about the herd immunity and all that. Are those not enough in terms of educating people?
Well, not to undermine Bob Nyabinde, mm-hmm. not to undermine the others, but firstly, we have to understand the community which is online.
Mm-hmm.
The community which is online is me. Mm-hmm. I have access to the internet because I work on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The urbanites, those are the people who are mainly on Twitter, especially on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What about the rural folk, the ghetto youth who are unemployed and are having to eat what they would have hunted on that particular day mm-hmm. and do not have enough data to go on the internet and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I move on to Bob Nyabinde, as I said, I'm not undermining him. But now, in this era, in the current era, we constitute the larger proportion of Zimbabwe's population.
Mm-hmm.
And very few of my generation still follow Bob Nyabinde. If you ask them which songs Bob Nyabinde has sung, they can tell you two. They can't even tell you one.
Mm-hmm.
They are now upcoming influencers. They can take advantage of people such as Japraiser, Winky D. Those people have been working on other campaigns in the past, such as the one on circumcision, condomizing, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the influencers which I believe can have an impact mm-hmm. on how people perceive this Sinopharm vaccine. Already it has been tainted by quite a number of stories, but now if they use those kind of influencers, mm-hmm. people who are followed by even the poorest ghetto youth,
mm-hmm.
then I'm sure at least we can be moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bob Nyabinde is very influential, but his generation of followers is dwindling by the day.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, I don't even remember the last time I listened to him. I know he's a very good artist, but I don't remember the last time I listened to him.
Mm-hmm. So now, tell me something. There's this push and pull between uhulumende, lokho kushiwo nguhulumende, and of course, abantu abangafuni ukuthatha le vaccine. Where do we meet each other halfway? You find some medical practitioners going, hey guys, you know what, it's better to take some vaccine than to take no vaccine. Then you have some medical practitioners who are saying, I'm not ready to take this vaccine because they have not received enough information. However, government is there saying, let's all take it. If we all take it, the sooner we take it, the sooner we can go back to life, the sooner we can develop a herd immunity. Why are people still skeptical when government is making it very clear that the one thing that people want, going back to life as normal, can be possible if people take the vaccine?
Yes, but Mike, in terms of man, is ukuthatha ijekisina, ungalazi ukuthi isebenza njani, or liza yenza. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for me to be vaccinated if I do not know what that vaccine, how that vaccine will assist me or will help me.
Mm-hmm.
At least if I knew how that vaccine will help me, and even the possible side effects, I need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
At least if I have all the information on the table, then I can easily decide on my own that I know I am going to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with the Zimbabwean government or African governments, I can safely say all of them, maybe besides South Africa, because they are a bit liberal with information. Most African governments, they do not just publish this kind of information to the public. Despite the fact that this information is in the public interest, I have to make an informed decision. If I have a kid, or if I have a family, if I have dependents, I have to know what I'm supposed to tell them. At the present moment, I don't even know what I'll tell my own mother if she asks me how the vaccine works.
Mm-hmm.
What do I tell her? I'm a journalist and I do not have that kind of information. Who else will have that kind of information if me as a journalist If I don't even have that kind of information as a journalist, you can imagine. What the government should simply do is bombard. What happened when COVID first hit this part of Africa? Mm-hmm. They called it an infodemic, where there was so much information on COVID-19, it became some sort of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what they're supposed to do. It's supposed to be an infodemic of details about these vaccines, mm-hmm. so that by the time I wake up tomorrow, I know exactly why I am taking that vaccine, why I'm encouraging my daughter or my mother to take that vaccine. At the present moment, I do not have any arguing points, mm-hmm. and government still has a lot. So there's no meeting point at the present moment. Mm-hmm. The only meeting point which can be created is if government uses all platforms.
Mm-hmm. All right, Leo, waiting for 1 second. There's a clip that we would like to go to, which is one of our correspondents who's in South Africa, Anita Powell. And then when we come back, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what's happening in South Africa with regards to their COVID rollout and what Zimbabwe can learn. So hold on for 1 second. Let us head over to that clip. Now, Muriya Zimbabwe, speaking of South Africa, you heard there from Leopold Mnende referring to what's happening in South Africa with regard to their COVID-19 rollout plan. Let us head over to a clip that was a report that was done by VOA correspondent Anita Powell, who's based in South Africa, about South Africa's COVID-19 rollout plan. Let's take a look.
It took a year, but now a future looks possible. South Africa only started rolling out the coronavirus vaccine in the last 2 weeks, but President Cyril Ramaphosa says they've taken off running, with more than 67,000 health workers inoculated in the first 10 days as part of the first stage.
The start of our vaccination campaign has so far gone extremely well. It has shown that we can achieve much when we work together as a government, the scientific community, the private sector, and community-based organizations.
The second phase will start as soon as late April and will include the elderly, essential workers, and those who work or live in institutions and those with other health risks. In all, South Africa hopes to vaccinate 40 million of its nearly 59 million people. Dr. Richard Lessels, one of South Africa's top viral researchers, says he thinks authorities made the right move in stopping use of the AstraZeneca vaccine because it was not found to be entirely effective against the highly contagious variant that has driven most of South Africa's new infections. In all, the nation has seen more than 1.5 million confirmed cases. And he says South African regulators are looking at other vaccines, including those made in Russia and China.
Clearly, there was a lot of concern about us being late to the party and late getting started. The reality, however, is that whether we'd got started earlier or not, the vaccination wouldn't have impacted on that second wave that we saw, that really dreadful second wave, because that was already in motion in December. What's critical now is to get vaccine into as many people as possible before any resurgence and any possible third wave.
He also said researchers are working to develop a vaccine against the highly contagious new variant. In Johannesburg, the nation's economic hub, residents had mixed feelings about the vaccination campaign.
This vaccine is going to help us for this virus of coronavirus and whatnot. It's going to help us, this vaccine. Because many people in South Africa died because of this virus.
I don't think I'll be taking the vaccine anytime soon. Regarding why I say so, it's because of the fact that it hasn't been proven anywhere else in the world. If we had to be the first people in South Africa to be taking this vaccine, what does this mean to us as South Africans in general? Why can't we also be like the other world, wait for the original vaccine that should be given to us as people in this world so that we can also be safe from this coronavirus?
The Rainbow Nation has a long road ahead, but, says Ramaphosa, this is a country that has known hardship.
So much has changed in our country and in our lives. But the spirit of our people has not changed. You have endured the greatest hardships but you have remained resolute, united, and hopeful. Now, a year after the virus first reached our shores, we have a much clearer path towards containing infections and ultimately overcoming the disease.
Shot by shot, he says, they'll get it done. Anita Paul, VOA News, Johannesburg.
All right, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Anita Powell, VOA News in Johannesburg. South Africa. Let's head over to some of our comments, Emma Kasinetu, where we're broadcasting live to see what people are saying, and then we'll go back to Leopold Munende to hear his thoughts on comparing between what's happening in South Africa and Zimbabwe. Is there anything we can learn as a nation? Now, Gukasinetu, LVOA Studio 7, there's Makuaza, who's saying, watching you from Cape Town, South Africa. Hi, Mkoma Mike. Hi, Zirukufamba Ere, Eva Makwaza. Andrew is saying, I'm watching you guys from Cape Town, Ekapa. Andrew, siyabonga kakhulu ngokungena kuhlelo. Thank you so much. Lucky Dube uthi, ngingunhlanhla mahlangu eBotswana, ngilibukele Mike. Tumelang mahlangu okayintate, kyalebuha. Thank you so much for joining us. Melissa Joe says, well said, Leopold Kudokwashe Munende. They should give us information on this vaccine. We're not sure if we can trust it. Kuno kugo kwe ai watinotenda zukurusa. Si shobe mpala uti nkona entweni yakona. Angise Randfontein. Gunjani Randfontein si shobo. Malisa says infodemic eshaya ishombe arukombira mawoko apa. I'm sure she was referring to Zirikwitika ku South Africa. Gukasile tuele VON debele another page where we're broadcasting live. Zulugandaba skumbuzo mlazi uti chaha lezanzi unjani mlalazi siabonga ngokungena kuhlelo. Preden Kolite uthi abavule izikolo. Hayi, kanye ngani abantu sebekhathelelayo uMP ephi Ndlovu uthi abavule izikolo uyavumelana. And then Sanele Mpofu says, can you please open the schools? Our kids are getting dull. Limzwile umongameli izolo echasisa ngempela esithi hayi, izikolo schools are going to be opening soon. However, they're still encouraging e-learning. Another problem that's encountered. We're going to be delving deep into the education system soon. Namhla sisathinta udaba lwe hlelo lwe COVID-19 lockdown. Leo, are you still on the line there, bro?
Yes, I'm around.
So, yes, okwenzakalayo kwele South Africa, do you think that they're doing better than Zimbabwe? Even bona ngokwabo abantu kwele South Africa bakhanya ngani bayasaba ukuthatha ijekiseni elikhona kwele South Africa?
Yeah, of course. And unyezwa lokho abakukhulumayo. They are making sense. For example, the last comment, othe she's not going to take a vaccine. It's some sort of experiment. It has not been proven. South Africa. That is exactly the situation we are in at the present moment. We don't know if the current vaccine we are in, which is coming, we don't even have that kind of information. We need to know that. At least the vaccine should have come. They tested on something, or isn't there, guinea pigs or something like that in science. They test it there, they tell us. They should not lie to us, they should not misinform us. They tell us, we have tested this kind of vaccine for this kind of strain, and it has exhibited that it has an efficacy rate of this percentage. Then I decide on my own whether I want to take it or not. Without that kind of information, our service look as well as well.
But Leo, do you not think Uguti, what this just shows is Uguti, a problem, a corner, is Uguti, there's a lot of these drugs are still in an experimental stage, but because of the urgency of dealing of with COVID, they're pushing these drugs out to make sure that people can start developing some kind of immunity. I mean, even Lapa Wele Meliga, when we look at the vaccines that are still there, they're still working on them, but abantu sebeqala ukuthatha phela ama Jackson lawo. Do you not think that abantu should just now get to a stage where they should trust the process and develop some, rather take something than nothing?
In a normal situation, like you are saying in America, in a normal situation, citizens should at least begin or start believing in the process. And because this is experimental, like you said. So for the latest, there is no perfect answer to this COVID issue. But we are in Africa. We have been cheated so many times. So you have to understand Isn't they say once bitten, twice shy?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the people and their attitudes towards their governments.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, and I will forgive anyone. I'm not saying they shouldn't take the virus,
mm-hmm.
the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying I would forgive them for not taking the vaccine
mm-hmm.
based on them not trusting the system which is in place.
Mm-hmm.
Advantage isn't Jackson Leland. You have someone to blame. You have someone to hold to account.
Mm-hmm.
You see, back home now,
mm-hmm.
if something happens, something goes bad,
mm-hmm.
and I try to correct that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it becomes it's a burden on its own.
Mm-hmm.
No one will compensate him. It will take years up to a point where they decide, no, let's compensate this person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the situation, therefore. The society doesn't trust those in governance. So at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
that is their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but it's reality. We have to appreciate the speed with which our health workers, our scientists are coming up with these vaccines for different strains.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying their best. But
mm-hmm.
also governments across Africa, across the world, should go an extra mile into convincing their own citizens to take up these experimental vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually a vaccine takes a minimum of 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And these are only taking less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bound to, this was bound to happen.
Siyabona phela abantu seem to be excited by okusho ngumongameli izolo esithi izikolo zizavula or izikolo kumele zikhangelele ukuvula. What are people on the ground saying about that? Ngoba for a very long time abantu's people's biggest concern was izikolo akulama PPE ngezinto ezishiyeneyo. Now that umongameli is saying izikolo mazivule, even though he's also still encouraging e-learning, is there anything different in terms of developments in the schools?
Well, in Zimbabwe, I can say it's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Teachers are disgruntled.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting a meager salary. So, most of those who are in government are getting, you won't believe that they're getting between 30 to 50 US dollars per month. And you can imagine what you can do with that 50 to 30 US dollars per month, virtually nothing. And so what they are demanding a salary increase, a salary hike, mm-hmm. back to the period Liana AHNU, EIHNU, where they were getting around 500 US dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying, Jimimaga eroded Maritzedun, Jimagata, my experiments, and you eroded our salaries. We want them back at $500.
Mm-hmm.
But government is not budging. So at the end of the day, what unions are saying, what the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, what the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe are saying is that deal with us first.
Mm-hmm.
Assess our grievances first before opening schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you force us to open schools, then there could be a repeat of what happened last year. If you read in the papers, our results are aggressive last year,
mm-hmm.
you saw just how many schools got 0%, and it was so disappointing,
mm-hmm.
especially for Zimbabwe, a country which in which we tell ourselves that we are so literate.
Mm-hmm.
Getting 0%, then we hear that there are grade 7 students in Lupano who cannot even read.
Mm-hmm.
So that is their warning. That is the teacher's warning. That you see what you can force us to open schools, but as long as we are not happy, then there's nothing you are doing. So what, they are urging.
What you actually said, actually, I'm reading one of the comments. Who castletwele viewer in Ndebele ulimgani in Ndebele uyabaluthi isikolo siyadingeka hachi esamabala kuphela but understanding, which is something that you seem to be referring to here in terms of ukuthi ababalisi ngokwabo kumele ba they need to be in a happy space ukuthi babe lethemba ukuthi bayenelise ukufundisa abantwana besikolo in a very correct manner, if I'm going to use that for to explain it better. Leo, go ahead.
I was saying they should be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't motivate them, then they will do whatever they want with your kids. These are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can imagine entrusting your kids to a teacher who's totally angry
mm-hmm.
at the amount of money he's getting, at the school he's teaching at, which might not have desks, might not have anything. So you can imagine government should at least do or focus on that. Maybe within the next 2-3 months, and then slowly open schools. I understand some of the parents who are saying,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I also stay in a neighborhood where there are kids, and I can see some kids are slowly losing it. Mm-hmm. This other time, I could see some kids were already engaging in drugs, and then I just started talking to them, and they just fled, of course. But you can see that they now have a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. And this e-learning is not, it's quite a noble idea, but like I earlier on said, the internet is mainly, not totally, it's mainly a preserve of the urbanites. Mm-hmm. Those in the rural areas do not have this privilege. Mm-hmm. They do not have this privilege. If they have internet, it's 2-3G, mm-hmm. and you can imagine how slow that is. In town, yes, your kid can have access. Mm-hmm. Are we condemning them to a life of being uneducated, of lagging behind simply because they are in the rural area? Mm-hmm. All those questions have to be answered before schools open or before e-learning is pushed as a solution to the current challenges.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eva, I'm nending that mbozi anyai ni rimira mai then touchy pete du rukuru edu vese sikiba lingoto. Murukuona zvirikuitika munyika nezuro mchungamiri wenyika vaEmmerson Mnangagwa vakaannounsa vakaudzawo kamhuri yeZimbabwe kuti aiwa zvinhu zvaakuchinja pasi pechirongwa chelockdown. Vanoita mabasa emaoko vakukwanisa kudzokerawo kumabasa avo vachinoita zvavaimboita. Uyezve vakabata zvekare nyaya yetsamba yekufamba-famba hanzi. Aiwa, tsamba ichadikane kuitira kuti vanhu vafambe-fambe, vanhu vakukwanisawo kufamba-famba vakasununguka. Asi ngavasa kanganwe kuremekedza mitemo iripo patinotarisa nyaya idzi dzekudzivirira kutekeshera kwecovid-19. Saka vari kuudza vanhu kuti endrai mberi muchipfeka mamask, endrai mberi muchiongorora nyaya iyi yesocial distancing, endrai mberi zvekare muchigeza maoko as much as you can. Imi mundimika muri paground muri mutapi wenhau, vanhu vari kuti chiiko patinotarisa nyaya iyi yechirongwa checovid-19 lockdown?
Vanhu vari kuita basa rekutengesa vari kufara. Hatinganyepi nenyaya kuti vanhu ava mukatarira nyika yeZimbabwe vanhu vakawanda over 90% vanorarama ne roughly informal statistics dzinotiwo kunana 90% something, but hatizonyatsoziva. Asi kunana 90% vanorarama nebasa rekutengesa, vachitengesa mumadhorobha, vachitengesa kunana mbare mumageto meso manditi vanga vakavharirwa. Saka izvo vari kufara kuti at least nzara yange yakuda kupinda mudzimba iya yakukwanisa kuita sei, vakukwanisawo chero kuirwisawo, vakukwanisawo kufidhawo mhuri dzavo sezvavanga vachitadza kuita kubva muna March. You can imagine munga chero ukazofungawo kuti kubva muna March munhu asingaendi kubasa kusvikira March wegore, that's 12 months guys, mwedzi 12 baba vasingakwanisi kuenda kuchengeta mhuri. Saka vari kufara. Asi mimwe mitemo yazopiwa navamunangagwa pavakataura nezuro, vachitaura mitemo zvavabvisa nezvavawedzera mitemo yavo lockdown ye COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Inosanganisira kuti vanhu havanofanira kutevedzera zvakataurwa neorganization. Mm-hmm. Ichati remei nenyaya kuti vanhu sevanenge vari kunana mbare uko havazokwanisi kuti vaivane vachitesta temperature yecustomer pese pese. Havazokwanisi kuti vaive vachiudza customer kupfeka face mask nenyaya vanhu vari kutengesera panze kavo. Mm-hmm. Tifanira kuzviziva izvozvo. Havazokwanisi kuti vaive vachiwana mari yekutenga hand sanitizer kuti customer ikauya vombomupfapfaidzawo, havazozvikwanisi. Mm-hmm. Asi inovimba kuti vanhu havachaona mararamiro avachaitawo panguva inoyi, sezvo vatopiwawo mukana kuti vaitewo kamari. Zvikoro zvanzi zviri kuvhurwa within the next 2 weeks, vachawanawo kamari kekubhadharawo fees, vachawanawo kamari kekuti vararama. Mimwe mitemo yakataurwa navamunangagwa inosanganisira macurfew, indinoifariramo. Ndani chibvumidzo hangu kufamba nenyaya kuti ndine tsamba yebasa. Mm-hmm. Asi kune avo vasina tsamba nevamwe vangava kupinda panjodzi yekusangana nemapurisa mamwe ane hasha, vangava kurohwa nenyaya kuti havana tsamba. Mm-hmm. Izvezvi kune nyaya mbiri, imwe iri kugweru neimwe iri kuchitungwiza yatiri kumhanyisa, yekuti pane vanhu vaviri vari kunzi vakarohwa nemapurisa vakashaya. Muri kuona. Mm-hmm. Kubviswa kwetsamba nekubviswa nekunzi vanhu vachikwanisawo kufamba chero kusvikana 10 PM kuchabatsira vanhu vakawanda kuti chero vakasangana nemapurisa anongotaura kuti vakomana curfew haisati yaita sei, haisati yatanga. Mm-hmm. Ndichiri kubvumidza kufamba nezvimwe zvezvinhu zvekuti zvichabatsirawo pacovid inoi. Let's hope hurumende ichameka sure kuti zvinhu zvaina zvichafambawo ichibatsirana nevanhu.
Leo, isikhathi isesesidliwe ngumangoyi, kula bantu abakhuluma isindebele abangazwisisanga lokhu kusanda ukusho, bengicela ukuthi uphinde ubachasisele lokhu kusanda ukusho bese uphosela amazwi akho okugcina.
Okay. Mina bengisithi iziqiniso lezi ebezifakwe nguhulumende, lezifakwe ngumongameli u-Emmerson Mnangagwa Zulu. Abantu abaningi bazithabele, especially labo abasebenza imisebenzi yokuthengisa ezitaladeni, lakumagethi wethu, kubombare, makokoba, endaweni ezinjalo. Ngoba abantu labo bebengasebenzi kusukela kuMashi umnyaka ophelileyo beze befike namuhla. So labo sebethole isikhathi sokuthi bedinge imali. Ekugcina imuli, ekubhadala even i-fees, ngoba izikolo kuthiwa zizavulwa kumaviki amabili alandelayo, mhla ka-15 izikolo ziyabe sezisenzani, ziyabe sezivulwa. Bakuthabele. Okungaba nzima ngezinye iziqiniso azikhulumileyo, ezokuthi laba abathengisayo, sokufuze bezame ngazo zonke indlela ukuthi ababathengiselayo labo bayabezinakekela, benakekela labanye ababe bethengisa, begqoka ama-face mask, belama hand sanitizer landlana. Ungahlupha ngoba abantu laba sikhuluma ngabantu abangela mali, asebe lomnyaka bengasebenzi, abangela mali yokuthenga ama-hand sanitizer, ama-face mask, lokutesta ama-temperature. Kodwa mina nithemba ukuthi bazathola indlela zokuziphilisa ngazo, zokusebenza ngazo. And then kudaba olwe-curfew, lokukhitshwa kwencwadi. Lami lokhu ngiyakuthabela. Ibe ngithe njengomuntu mina bengisebenza bendle ncwadi yokuhamba. Lami ngingahlangana lakho ngomnyaka ophelileyo okutshayana lamapolisa, okutshaya ngamapolisa. Besengisithi okutshayana lami ngatshayana
lamapolisa ndoda.
Okutshaya ngamapolisa. Kula mapolisa lawa anathi lokule ncwadi bebekutshaya. But khathesi njengoba umongameli sekhulume wathi hayi okwencwadi lokhu akusela ndawo. Abantu sebevunyelwe ukuhambela nje. Ukuhamba from idolobha leliya lisiya kudolobha leliya, idolobho leliya ngcono. Lalokho ukuthi amapholisa lawo awasela reason yokunjani. Khathesi kule ndaba ezimbili, enye esegweru, enye esesithungwiza. Ezokuthi kulabantu ababili, amadoda amabili atshaywa ngamapholisa afa. Ngenxa yena leyo kuselakala kwencwadi, amaphosa amanye sethabe kakhulu, uhambelana ngele ncwadi, lala, sebekutshaya umuntu wabhubha. Ngezinye izindaba esezikhitshwa manje, esezizaba zilutshwane ngenxa yokukhitshwa kwama-restrictions lawo. Izikolo, esike sakhuluma ngezikolo, sathi izikolo ukuthi zivule, ama-teacher wona athi engcono. Kule 40-50 US dollars leli esinikayo. Ngoba uhulumende engekela ukunika amatitshala imali engange $500 le abayicelayo. Kume bengehlule ukukhulumisana, abantwana bazaphinda benze lokhu abakwenzileyo esikubone ngomnyaka ophelileyo ku-grade 7. Ukuthi siyathola kumbe izikole ezidlula 10 zilama 0%. Sithole ukuthi kulabantwana abafunda ezikolweni eziningi o-grade 7 abangakwanisi ukubala. So bona sebekhulumisana lohulumende ukuthi ayihulumende siyavuma sikuthi uthi izikolo zivulwe, kodwa lathi sinika imali sike senze lathi sisebenze lathi sithabile, abantwana zizabona bepasa, those kind of things. So asazi ukuthi kuzahamba njani, but mbona ngani hayi sisendleleni right.
All right, Leo, unfortunately our time here has run out. I really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for taking time to join us. We really appreciate your input as usual. Ngilethemba lokuthi laba abalaleli bayavuma and they learned a lot from what you had to say. Siyabonga kakhulu ngokungena kuhlelo bafo.
You're welcome, Mike. Thanks a lot for the opportunity too.
All right, Muriya Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Umnumzana Leopold Monende, the spokesperson of the Young Journalists Association. But now we're talking about vendors, we're talking about the informal sector. Earlier on, ngilitshelile ngempela, Muriya Zimbabwe, I told you that we're going to be giving you some pre-recorded interviews that I've done over the weekend. I managed to catch up with Michael Ndiweni, who is the executive director of the Bulawayo Vendors Traders Association. We talked about the lockdown, and of course, we talked about the COVID-19 vaccine. Without further ado, Muriya Zimbabwe, without wasting time, let's head over to my conversation with Michael Ndiweni.
It has been a difficult period to date, simply because you will remember that the second lockdown in 2021, you remember that most of these people survive on selling or buying things for resale or going to order goods to come and sell in the country. The lockdown meant that people were unable to put food on the table because they had nothing to sell. Even if you open the market, some are actually failing to restart now, the stock. Because, like I said, they spend the little that they had at the beginning of the year. So the government must provide the cushioning package so that people can restock and start work. It's very simple. But the message is very clear that it's placed the livelihoods of traders at the center of COVID-19 mitigation measures. It must go hand in hand. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. For us. For us, that is important. Should the vaccine be available, next available to almost also, these people are the frontline workers, but they anchor the economy. Traders are actually the backbone of this economy. I say that the GDP is about 70% coming from the sector. So they are part of the essential service in this country because they are providing, they are carrying the economy. So they must also be vaccinated should we get another batch of the vaccine.
Right. Which is good. I like that you mentioned the vaccine, so I want to delve into that. Obviously, the Sinopharm vaccine has been in the country and is being distributed in different parts of the country now. What are your thoughts on that vaccine?
For me, I think that people must take the vaccine because it is what is available. And we need to get back to work. We need to try and get back to our lives. I mean, go back to our normal lives. So the vaccine, if it's available, people must take the vaccine. I know that there are a lot of misinformation, disinformation about the vaccines. A lot of things are known. Even talk about Pfizer, talk about AstraZeneca. All these are new vaccines. We don't know the side effects because everyone is trying them. So whatever is available, I suppose let's just take it because we want to try and get our lives back. For me, I would say to the traders, should we get the vaccine, please get vaccinated, and then we try to get our lives back to normal.
What would you say to the people who feel skeptical about taking the vaccine?
Well, for me, it's justified. Like I said, that there's a lot of misinformation or a lot of uncertainty about these vaccines also. So it's justified that human beings will be skeptical about some of them. Some will be skeptical, some will take the vaccines. For me, it's justified and it's normal. But I think we need to be responsible as leaders to try and say, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens because it is what is available for us. And as long as we don't take it, then it means that we'll be stuck at home again and we'll continue then suffering. Maybe let's get vaccinated and then let's go back to work and then see what happens. Maybe you are going to develop more advanced vaccines later on and get vaccinated and be even safer. So for me, I would say that they must is strong. Personally, I will take the vaccine. I don't doubt about that. But I know that some people are very skeptical about it. And like I said, they're just fine. But I think we need to try and say, so what are the options that are available?
Whilst on the same discussion of the skepticism, I want to touch a little more on the education. You guys have been talking about COVID-19, educating your members on COVID-19 and so much more. So I'm also a little more curious about that there in terms of saying that people are urging government to immediately start embarking on education programs on this vaccine so people can understand more about the vaccine. Experts have argued that if government goes on to do that, there's less likelihood of that push and pull and less likelihood of the skepticism because people know what they're dealing with. How important do you think such a program would be?
Yeah, of course. Awareness raising is very important because it allays some fears. It debunks and myths about these vaccines. So it is the government's responsibility, as you rightly put it, but also with other stakeholders to come on board. But I think what is more important is also for the government, senior government officers, to take responsibility and be seen to be taking the virus. Because that also gives them confidence. Because raising awareness only on radio and not seeing the senior top guys in government not taking the virus, then it's like saying, no, go ahead and take it, then we'll see what happens. But if they are taking responsibility and taking a lead, it at least, in my view, it gives a bit of confidence into get people getting vaccinated. But, of course, there is need for awareness because, like I said, there are a lot of stories about the vaccine itself. So, but people must be given correct information, and maybe to reduce some level of skepticism.
I like to go on government pages a lot, and recently I've been seeing, for example, the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Twitter, Ministry of Information's Twitter page.
Yeah,
they've been using a lot of public figures. to kind of raise awareness, musicians and so much more, or they're kind of endorsing the vaccine, urging people to take the vaccine, talking about herd immunity and so much more. Do you think those attempts are enough? And of course, we also saw Honorable Constantino Chiwenga and his deputy also taking the vaccine. Do you think what government is doing is enough?
Well, I don't think that it's enough, because even looking at the reception of television reception in some areas, radio reception in some areas, still bad. Some people don't have radio, don't have access to radio. So there has to be some maybe kind of road shows that will create that interface with people and get people asking questions. I think there should be more engagement and feedback from people, what they think, and then expect giving correct information in terms of what has been said.
Recently, we heard uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa touching on the vaccine, and you were saying, Uwuthi, he's urging people to take this vaccine because eventually it's going to get to a state and point where even for you to get a job, they will ask whether you've taken the vaccine or not. For you to get onto a Zupco bus, they will ask whether you've taken the vaccine or not. Now, I know some people feel very, very resistant about that because it sounds as though it's actually forcing you to take it. But these are measures that are being implemented even in different countries, whereby they're saying some job places are asking whether you've taken the vaccine or not, and it might stop you from getting that job. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it may sound very bad to say that, but let's put it differently. Say that at my workplace, an office in a company, I'm a vendor.
All right, Zulukandaba, you are hearing there from uMnumzana uMichael Ndiweni. Unfortunately, because time is running out, we couldn't give you our full conversation, but we will be uploading it on our Facebook page and our webpage. Now, without further ado, Muriya Zimbabwe, as we wrap up, we're celebrating the life of Soldier Love. We're joined by Plot Marco. Let's head over to my conversation with Plot Marco.
When I think of Soldier Love, I think of somebody who lived his life and expressed it through music. His music was entirely about his life. And what's quite interesting is that by him telling us his own life story, we resonated with him. He entertained us. He moved and touched so many souls. And we continue to appreciate the music that he made. And he made this music within a very short space of time, but the impact was super, super huge. And the music sort of transcended across all social levels, you know. And that's how powerful his music was, and that's how I remember it.
Speaking of the power of his music, when he passed away, I saw people across the board, old, young, cross-tribal lines, all showing love to Soldier Love, mourning him. What about him do you think radiated with people, especially the youth? The youth seems to come out in their numbers. What about him radiated with them?
I think Soldier Love, the most interesting aspect about him and what made him resonate with especially young people was his ability to understand the struggles of young people. Mm-hmm. But the most important aspect, I think, was his use of street lingo. Not just the use, but he created street lingo.
Right.
I think up to date, we've not seen an artist who has managed to create so much street language that people still continue to use up to date.
I had never heard of Kamamonya Ipapo before him.
There was nothing like that. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, these were ways that you'd play around, create, and everybody would just jump on them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about his life. When he passed away, I saw a lot of different utterances across the board on social media. And some people were really, they really stood by government's decision of making him a hero. However, some really felt as though he was celebrated too late by government. They felt as though government should have given him the respect that they gave him in death, in life. So I want to focus more on how artists are being treated in Zimbabwe in general. Do you feel as though artists are given the right treatment, not just by government, but by people in general, when they are alive in comparison to when they're dead?
I think it's a bit subjective. To some extent, you'd find there are incidences or scenarios where artists are not celebrated or appreciated much when they are alive. But in the case of Soulja Love, I would say, look at his shows with thousands of people attending his shows, with people that loved him, people that supported his music. In terms of really being able to buy his music online and stuff, that I'm not so sure, because he never really organized his music online that way. You can find it on hundreds of YouTube channels, SoundCloud and other things. So I think he's one person who got quite a good share of support from people. And remember, this one person who openly expressed his political affiliation,
right,
spoke about being ZANU-PF. And we know what has happened to presidents, to other artists that have spoken about their political affiliation and how their musical careers crumbled. But Soulja Love is the only artist that I know to get who continued to speak and sing. He actually made a couple of songs. He switched from praising Mugabe to praising Emmerson Mnangagwa, the president. And that switch alone speaks volumes about the impact that he had. But as far as the government support, I would say the government has really not been supportive of the creative arts. They have not really done much to put in place systems to assist in terms of provision, even in terms of TV. We still have one TV station now, more licensed. But some of those challenges are challenges that artists continue to face. Mura not being able to pay artists royalties in time, and the major player being government, ZBC. So the recognition could have come a bit too late, but I think it's still commendable that the government recognized and appreciated him as an artist to say he was a hero. But he was a hero in front of the people before being conferred the status.
As you mentioned, the youth really, they loved him to the core. When we look at his life, what do you think the youth should take away from it to ensure that they can also learn a thing or two?
I think what they should take away from Soulja Love is the resilience, the ability to dream and imagine from a place of despair. Soulja Love came from that hard place. He struggled, he had family struggles, but he also lived on the streets at some point. But he never stopped imagining, he never stopped dreaming. He always believed that one day he was going to be a successful artist. So I think that's one thing that young people should be able to take away from the life of Soulja Love.
As we wrap up here, Plot, of course, let me make this a little more personal for you. What songs of his did you like? And most importantly, what do you think? Do you think his legacy will live forever?
My favorite songs from Soulja Love were Ndini Uyawe, and then John Terry, those are Ndomdira, from Ammonia Pop My Gates. Those are some of my favorite. But I mean, his catalog runs so long. This guy made hundreds of songs within a short space of time. In terms of his legacy living, definitely his legacy lives. He's been recorded in the book of history, you know. Generations to come will remember Soulja Love. They'll remember a 31-year-old who made so much of an impact that cuts across generations. We saw a major international broadcasting channels paying tribute to Soulja Love. That has not been happening. We saw Jamaican artists coming out in their numbers, paying tribute to Soulja Love. And for a very long time, if you remember, a lot of Zim dancehall artists, when they're making news, they always sang and said that one day they hope and dream to make it to Jamaica, where the music journey that they pursuing originated from. And Soulja Love was that connection. He managed to achieve that.
Paul, a soldier, love, Muria Zimbabwe, rest in peace, Sauro, Pamamunya Papo, Zimbabwe, we have reached the end of today's program. Just to recap, nothing Chironga, we had Plot Mako talking about the life of Soulja Love. We had Leopold Munende, the spokesperson of the Young Journalists Association, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, we're also joined by Michael Ndiweni of the Bulawayo Vendor Traders Association. Zimbabwe, tinotenda zvikurusa kune munhu wese akwanisa kupinda muchirongwa. Thank you so much. much to everybody that was watching the program with us. It's a wrap for me here. Let's meet same time, same place. For those looking to chat with me, at Big Mike 3, BIGMYKE3 on Twitter and Instagram. Mure Zimbabwe. Bye-bye!